They're the boys in the back room. We have a guy who works in the back, Eric Jones. He's the big German. Be nice to Marvin. He'll be taking your calls today. Chat row, Tyler, the moderator, handling the duties there. A couple of weeks ago, Dylan was getting us breakfast. Now he's doing graphics on this program. You know who? Blame Mario.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the backroom guys are not allowed to eat until 12:15.
You're now listening to the 12:15 Club.
Welcome back to another edition of the 12:15 Club. It is my Ariel here in the moink. Joined as always by Eric the Big German, Marvin the Prince, and Dylan the Graphics Guy. I leave you last purposely because I think you're the least valuable member of this back room. Yeah. Of this backroom podcast.
Valuable.
Yeah, yeah. Valuable. You're the least valuable member of this backroom podcast. How do you feel about that?
Coming from you, I could literally care less.
Eric, I feel like you had something to say.
I always have something to say. What I was going to say is that I kind of felt like you might have just had a McLovin moment because you were like caught and you had to talk on mic, but you were chewing.
I had,
so you had a McLovin moment.
I had a full cube of steak in my mouth.
That's why I went to you, because you were like, looking at me.
I feel like I mastered
with that in
well.
Your mouth.
Yeah,
I don't think you did.
Right.
I was seductively eating a piece of steak, Mario, and you caught me.
Yeah, well,
maybe. It's the only way to eat it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Today we're joined by, so most of you guys probably don't know him from the show, but Trevor DL. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, you did. Yo. Trevor good.
DL. He was a big part of the build of the new studio here in the Man Cave. He worked hand at hand with Eric, and he was a big part of, you know, what this is today. Right, Eric? Would you say that's... I guess you can give a little bit more background of how big of a part he played with this new Man Cave.
Yeah, I mean, so Trevor was working for me. He was based in Los Angeles. He originally grew up in Milford, right, Trevor?
Yeah, so I grew up in Milford, Connecticut, born and raised. Fortunately, landed a job with DirecTV AT&T with Eric out in L.A., and somehow it came to a point where they were deciding to build a studio in Milford, Connecticut, and it was awesome because I got to be able to go home, experience everything that I've missed on a long time, and also just reconnect with my friends and everyone at the studio.
I don't know if this is the right time to tell you or not, but the only reason why you were hired was just because we didn't have to pay for a hotel.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, it seemed to work out that way because Eric actually threw me in my dad's house for 2 months, and I haven't lived with my dad for probably 10 years at that point. So it was a bit of a two-edged sword. I had the experience of building a studio and working with a great team and just being with the Danettes and Dan and, you know, just getting the experience of something a lot of people don't get. But at the same time, Eric had thrown me in my house in my dad's basement as I was just trying to reconnect with my dad, and my parents are divorced, so it was a weird connection after about, I'd say.
Is this a therapy session?
Yeah, I can vent a little bit. Eric definitely got a bunch of it. Eric definitely heard a bunch of it because I eventually did get a hotel out of him, but it took a while. You know, it took some schmoozing, but it came out.
So how did you feel about that, Trevor?
I felt great with a month worth of hotel points at the end.
Yeah, but, right.
So Trevor, when you were helping, you know, with the studio, what were some of the experiences that you had with the guys directly, the Danettes and Dan? Did they have any like weird demands? What was that like?
Well, it was like when we do the travel shows, I'd get to see the guys for a shorter period of time, but this was like a bit more personal because I was with them every day. You know, I got to see them, you know, in their more of their comfort zone rather than on the road. This was their place. So it's like they were definitely a lot more comfortable. But one of the funnier times was once we were further along in the studio build, our general contractor at the time with a big firm, you know, these guys don't mess around. They do huge projects. This guy, Rich, had came in and, you know, he was the boss and the talent's usually not used to really being told what to do other than Eric, and this guy was telling them what to do, and they, you know, they usually don't roll with that. And Paulie, for example, had came in a couple times. You know, at first he felt like the helmet part was cool, but and then it turned out he wasn't about it, and whether it was safe or whatever it could have really been, he was over it. He didn't want to wear it. He didn't care what anybody said. You know, overall Paulie was great to the crew, and there's no disrespect, but it was just he just simply didn't want to wear this hard hat.
There was another instance that I had heard about something with the three-point line. I know there was a lot of rumblings about the three-point line when this new studio was being built. And there was only one person that was super concerned about that. Can you give us a little bit more insight into Well, what exactly happened there?
Yeah, so, you know, it's like we built this beautiful studio. Eric and I had worked crazy hours. Everyone who was there, you know, Marvin, everyone, Dylan, Tyler, everyone on this crew. There's endless people. But the people you guys are used to, Mario, you know, everybody around was here working. And, you know, at a point, you know, we're two.
I got to stop you. Yep. Mario was living the dream over downtown. Not a finger. We didn't see Mario until the thing was built just about.
Nah, he came in and was like, so where's my office? I'm like, who the heck do you think you are?
Producer Mario.
I came in.
You would come in with you would peacock around like it was your thing. Like, hey, do you have a hard hat for me? Okay, so again, tell me where my office is going to be.
I never did that.
BS. Yes, you did.
I just said, where am I sitting? That's all I ever said. I never said my office.
Right.
I would like to also test that. You definitely did that because you didn't have to do anything. So you'd come over and be like,
I was working on the show.
What were you doing? After noon, what were you doing back then?
A lot of stuff that I was doing. A lot of stuff that I was doing.
Dylan, a big organizer over here. Big color sticker guy.
Yeah, I'm very organized. Detail oriented, as I've been called.
All right, so back to this three-point line incident.
Yeah, so McLovin, you know, we're further along at the build at this time. Everyone's tired. You know, we literally put a half a football field and a half a basketball court in a building that was once a, what was it? It was a United Rentals, you know. So we completely turned this place into a beautiful studio, and then McLovin's coming in and complaining about the three-point line, telling us it's not further enough back, it needs to be regulation, and we're looking at him like, are you kidding me, man? We just put a basketball court in your studio in 2 months. And then also, once he got over the three-point line, it came to the point he was shooting his threes and the roof wasn't high enough. And at this point, you know, you can't raise the roof. There's nothing you could do at that. And the tracks for the garage door, there's so many things going wrong. And regardless of how great the court was and everything it was, it just wasn't good enough.
And he was being completely serious about that. That's not like it was a joke or he was trying to like bust your guys' chops.
No, you know, he wasn't, and it wasn't disrespectful, you know, but he was blunt about it. You know, he let us know that, you know, this is what he wants and this is what he expects, and we just simply couldn't get it done.
Done?
Well, the reason that's funny too is because the quote unquote basketball court at the old studio was literally like, like 5 feet wide and the ceiling was even lower.
It was like, just like you a free throw lane.
It was like a pop a shot thing. Yeah. So I think that's still a pretty good upgrade over what they had previously.
Marv?
We could have raised the roof, right?
Yeah, it's not that bad.
We raise the roof every day here at the Dan Patrick Show.
Hey, Mario.
It's never on fire, though.
Oh, okay, I see what you did there.
Eric?
It's funny. So one of the things that at the beginning of this, Trevor, and I know you didn't come out right at the beginning. You came out and visited once, but you came out kind of right when construction started, right?
Somewhat. I was out in the beginning parts too with your courthouse and like all that part, but probably as soon as we started cleaning and everything, so I'd say Dylan was here first and I came a week later.
Yeah, but when we were looking at the design of the building, it's really kind of four buildings total. There's like the office space, and then there's where the Danette studio is, which used to be like the showroom, and then there's what the field house is now, where the basketball court is, and that used to be like the maintenance bay. And then the furthest back we call the warehouse, and that has the highest ceilings and all that. And we kind of were like, well, where do we want to put stuff, right? Because it was like we wanted to have some storage space here. We didn't need quite as much as we ended up with, but, you know, that was one of the problems we were trying to solve. If we had put the basketball court in the warehouse, then you would have been able to have – because the warehouse is like 24-foot ceilings. I mean, it's wild. But the problem was you couldn't get – because of the columns, you weren't going to be able to get – an arc without a column in it, and we didn't really want anybody to, you know, run into a column while playing a game. So it's interesting, kind of just the way that all came together. So in addition to the studio build, you also worked with us on the road. You did a couple of Pebble Beach shows. You did our Super Bowl show in Miami. So do you have any stories from there traveling with the guys? I mean, obviously the guys are great and like, you know, but they have idiosyncrasies, right? And some things like, you know, getting at Pebble Beach, they talked about on the show today, getting Starbucks at 4 a.m., you know, and like what it takes to get that done. And on the show today, they were just like, oh, well, you know, we just send a guy, but that guy was either you or one of your PAs, right? Okay. So, because Trevor's position was production coordinator. So just if anybody knows anything about production, so he was the production coordinator and the PAs worked under him. So anyways, any kind of anecdotal stories about traveling with the guys or?
Yeah, well, there's definitely a bunch of times, you know, a bunch of stories, because we did San Antonio, Pebble Beach a bunch of times. We did Super Bowl and Final Four. But what some of my favorites were is the Final Four in San Antonio, you know, because the guys would always try to bring in the fans. You know, we at the time we had a basketball, like a kind of half court basketball court set up along the Riverwalk in San Antonio. And the guys, there was Patrick Ewing out there, Reggie Miller, and we had some University of Texas San Antonio kids out there for a shoot around. And the kid thought he was a hot shot, and he thought he could do all this and that. And, you know, McLovin can ball. So he was able to shoot out there, and he was showing this kid up. But the best part was, no matter how, I don't even know how many fans we had brought in, maybe 20 or 30, but everybody was whiffing it in front of Dan, Reggie Miller, all these guys they looked up to, and they were just blowing it. You know, it just wasn't working out for them. And that was one of them. And Pebble Beach, honestly, there's endless times that really had, but the recent one was 2018. I think 2018, we had these big Callaway, or it was like a Callaway, it was like a drive challenge or whatever they were calling it, but they had to hit blown up versions of their heads, and they were just drilling these things. And then as they moved it around, it got more challenging for the guys, and you kind of see who's athletic and who's not. And it kind of got real funny at points, because, you know, because everyone's competitive with it being a sports show.
Except for Todd.
Yeah.
Yeah, Todd's like, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just funny seeing the interactions between everybody in those live look-in moments, and where you actually have to show some athleticism rather than just talk about it.
That's kind of one of the interesting parts about our show, is that, like, most shows, even other sports shows, people have storylines, you know, and they, like, develop the characters. Like, Todd is Todd. Like, there's nothing, you know, like, so I don't know if you have any, like, Toddisms or interactions with Todd, just, you know, because he's very specific about his everything.
Yeah.
Whether printer or, you know, whatever, you know, if his mouse isn't on the right, in the right spot, you know, he's going to freak out.
Yeah. My funniest is, like, honestly, Todd was always super nice to me, and he was awesome and, you know, super caring. And you don't really see that with talent much. Not saying any of the guys weren't, but Todd was always the most compassionate. But the funniest part for me is we would go to Starbucks, especially in Pebble Beach. So Pebble Beach, the PAs would have to troop like 20, 30 minutes to like a 4 o'clock Starbucks just to get there. And the people would kill us because we would have like 30 orders. And it was like the graveyard shift guy who wasn't good at his job and hated it. But we would just come there at 4 a.m. bright-eyed, already ready to go, and like, hey man, we need all this. And the best part was that Todd would order apple juice. You know, out of all things you need at 4 in the morning, it's Starbucks apple juice.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, because when we would do the show in New York, when I came on as a PA, I started doing like the whole breakfast order, and Todd every day would get a bagel, a knish, and an apple juice every single time. It's always apple juice.
A knish?
Yeah, which is like kind of a redundant, like a potato knish.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for breakfast too, or would he? Yeah.
Oh, a bagel and a bialy, which is just like another bagel.
That's like the most Todd thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, so like two different versions of a bagel and an apple juice every single time. So I guess, I don't know, Todd's just an apple
Todd
juice
would, guy. I mean, completely different subject here, but when I used to order breakfast for the guys in the old studio, Todd would only order breakfast probably 2 times a month, and it would be the most specific order possible, and he'd be asking for things that are like, because they would give us like a fruit cup, and it'd be just a bunch of different fruits, and he's like, oh, can you see if they can pick the blueberries out of there? And because I don't really eat the pineapples, like but I just really want the blueberries and the kiwis. And it's like, Todd, what do you mean? You just want to just pick them out yourself?
You want a blueberry kiwi salad?
Yeah, pretty much.
And an apple juice.
Yeah, and then I want the bagel toasted like halfway, if they can put it with some lettuce and eggs. Lettuce and eggs, Todd? What, Eric?
Do you think that maybe the Burger still does sell tuna fish? They just didn't want Todd to come anymore because of specificity. Yeah, they're like, yeah, let's just tell him we don't have that stuff anymore.
That's quite the conspiracy, Tyler.
Oh, what's up, Ty?
Facts. Big facts.
What's your interactions with Dan been like? So you've known Dan, I think we said, like, since you've grown up. You played with his son Jack on like a rec team. You said you guys went to school together. What has been your impression of him just kind of growing up in Milford and knowing, yeah, it's Dan Patrick, you know, who's his huge star?
Yeah, so it's like I was on his son Jack's rec basketball team. I didn't go to school with him, but at the time, you know, that was when Dan was the man at ESPN. You know, he was working all the time, so it'd be very rare that we'd really run into him unless it was maybe at basketball games or something. But that was when everyone, you know, idolized Dan and still does. But that was the prime days of SportsCenter when he was on the primetime show.
And are you saying that Dan peaked?
No, but it was awesome to see, you know, the other side of Dan that's not just on TV. You know, you see him behind the scenes with the guys and how he sets the tone. And, you know, it's like on the long days, especially on the road, you know, it's like you're on set for, you know, 10 or so hours. So it's like the tone that Dan sets, you know, he's a comedian, you know, he's joking, he's ragging jokes on the guys and like makes my PAs nervous, you know, because he just throw these jokes and the kids don't know how to react. Like, do I laugh? What do I do? But, you know, Dan just set a tone that made it easier for me to do my job. And it just, you know, it's set, the crew was always on point. They were enjoying the show. And, you know, it's just, it's a bunch of guys talking about sports and you can't really go wrong with that.
Yeah, I think Dan fits that mode. And we've talked about this multiple times on the show, but he really sets that tone of it being a man cave. He walks around, jokes around. He's constantly cracking jokes or making fun of one of us, mostly me. Or Eric. You get made fun of.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you do. I've seen him make fun of you.
Every once in a while. But I don't give him as much material as you do, but...
I guess not.
No, I mean, I think Dan has said it, right? Like, we're all working in sports, and like, the guys talk about sports, and it's our job to support them and what they do. And so it should be fun. It shouldn't be, you know, a super stuffy corporate environment here. Like, it should be fun. And I think he helps kind of hammer that home. But it is kind of odd, especially when we go on the road where it's, you know, here in Milford, it's relatively untraditional, right? It's the same crew every day and it's a small set. And, you know, the guys, there aren't a bunch of PAs. There's not hair and makeup. There's not a bunch of lighting guys running around. It's, you know, it's a real core group of people. But when you go on the road, you know, it's guys and girls that work on all different kinds of shows. And, you know, it's a lot more, traditional in terms of like a studio or a stage environment.
Yeah.
And so Dan always tries to kind of break that mold, I think. It's always fun on set.
Yeah, and it helps everybody because it's trickle down. When the most important person there, you know, the executive, the lead, is that comfortable, everybody else kind of falls in line, you know, per se. You know, it's when the person's stiff, everyone's nervous, and then it kind of just, you know, everyone's going to have the same effect. But with him, he just made it comfortable, and everyone enjoyed coming to work. You know, they'd hear sports, he had great talent, but he overall just set the tone that, you know, everyone enjoyed working for him.
All right, Trev, well, thank you for sitting down with us for a little bit, joining us, sharing some stories. It's always fun to hear other perspectives of the guys. We spend 5 days a week with them, 8 hours plus, so... It's nice to see somebody's outside perspective of them is pretty similar to ours.
Of course, of course. And thank you for having me, Mario. Dr. Jones, Dylon, and Mr. Marvin Prince. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. It was a lot of fun, and look forward to seeing your guys' show again.
That was Trevor. It was good catching up with Trev.
Yeah, it was nice of him to fly all the way out here just for
the appearance.
Yeah, that was
yeah,
nice of him.
Just for the spot. I have a question for Dylan about something that went down this week. So you ordered the Tim Tebow jersey, the Jaguars one, what, a couple months ago at this point?
Yeah, it was announced that he was joining the roster a few months ago.
And then Paul brought it up this week, or Dan brought it up this week, and Paul was like, we'll look into it. And the very next day it was here. So were you holding it? Like, what had happened? Or did it just had...
No,
it just got there that day.
It literally got, so it came up, and coincidentally, I literally looked at my email and it said, you're like from the Jaguars official online store, which also every other email in my inbox is from the Jaguars store with all sorts of different stuff. But they literally emailed me and they're like, your jersey is arriving or your shipment's arriving tomorrow. And I was like, oh, cool. Perfect timing. So then I told Eric, we basically wanted to surprise Dan with it. Which I don't think he was surprised, but like the thought that counts.
He wasn't, because Paul wanted to save it for a morning meeting, and he did, and he was like, oh, what is this? And Dan was like,
oh, it's
Tim Tebow. He was like, no.
You're not supposed to know that.
Marv?
Was it one of those things where he was like, it's about time? Because we'd been waiting for that for a while. So it's not like, oh, I can't believe it got this. Damn, man, finally.
I mean, I literally, from this week alone, I'm counting... 9, 10 different emails from the Jaguars online store.
Eric?
What's funny about that, Dylan, is like, so during the studio build and other projects I've worked on, I've had to order something from every team. Mm. And so then what happens is you get every single team, like they think because you bought, you know, a Jaguars helmet or, you know, a Bengals helmet, then now you're a Bengals fan. And so like every time they win a match, they'll be like, oh, get your gear from today's game. And like, so my inbox is way worse than that.
And the Bengals and the Jaguars are really trying to pump stuff out to people too, because they don't have a ton of loyal customers as it is.
I mean, I have the feeling that you were kind of holding out on Dan, and I hope he's listening to this. So
I told first of all,
tell you to your face.
It did say, what did it say originally? July 31st was the delivery date, so it wasn't that far off.
Eric?
Originally, it was like 3-day shipping.
No, it was
supposed to be here in like May.
It was like FedEx. It's like 3 to 5 business days. Yeah. And they're like, sorry, these actually don't exist yet. It's coming in August.
Yeah.
So Mario, I don't appreciate the accusations, or what would you say? Like accusations that you're throwing at me?
Something in my throat, Marv.
You know what? I just figured something out. We should have like a grudge match. Like we should have like a boxing match or something between you two. Because
just hash it out.
The tension,
get it over with.
It has been Paulie and Todd level.
Who's who?
But to really, to really pull back the curtain, me and Dylan actually get along great.
That's true.
We actually hang out outside of the studio.
We're great friends. We go golfing, but you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Yeah. Right? The other thing I wanted to get to this week was our weekly Toddism, or something that happened with Todd. This week it was the porn star / exotic dancer story that he told, which
indeed.
I found. I just don't know why he continues to share these things so openly and freely on the show.
He's just an open book. That's just who he is.
We've talked about this before. I want to get his wife on just to see her reaction to these things. How does she handle these things, Marv?
That would be serious therapy for her. I just feel bad.
If she came in on here?
On here and just talked about Toddisms and things that Todd does or doesn't do.
She probably has like an NDA signed too. She just can't disclose too much information.
She's like a really nice lady. You've met her a few times, right? I met her briefly
at the Christmas party, whatever, a couple years ago.
It's so funny about Todd's wife because, I mean, she's a school teacher, right? So, like, she's just, like, this sweet lady. Todd's way over his skis. And, like, I just imagine, like, what she thinks about, right? Because, like, okay, so this is my husband, and, you know, he's, like, he provides for the family, except I have to bring the trash out, and I have to shovel the driveway, and I have to do everything, mow the lawn, and I get, oh, if there's a leak, you know, Todd's not doing anything, he's going to go get a hotel room while we fix it, you know?
I have to provide emotional support.
with a twin bed in it.
Yeah, he's like, good luck, fam, I'm going to go stay near the studio.
Book some guests for tomorrow.
Or stay in the man cave.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, it's gonna snow. All right, great. I'm just gonna stay at work.
No, like, I really need the Wi-Fi. I need to like book the guests. I can't. Yeah. I really have to. No, I have to. Dan's gonna be really.
She is a saint for sure.
Yeah, she's really nice.
We need to get her on the show. We've talked about that. We want to bring all the wives on.
I think there would be some Danettes that are a little bit more receptive to it than others, though.
I think if we want to get Todd's wife on, we have to do it like next week because she's going to go back to school and she's going to be in school during 12-15. So you got to get on it if you want to make this happen.
All right. I'm going to talk to Todd about it. The only thing is I don't think she's going to come in. You think she would? I don't know if she'd come in from where they live.
No, she could. We could zoom her in.
Could we?
Sure. Okay. Who wouldn't want her to be zoomed
in? We did that for like months.
No, but we were in separate rooms. We never zoomed in somebody from the podcast room.
Okay, but I have to imagine that would work, right?
Hake, really, buddy?
We do it on the show.
Marv?
It's not possible.
How about we don't tell Todd?
Yeah.
I think that's better.
That actually would be.
That's way better.
How about we have them in here together?
That would be.
No.
That could be part two, I think.
No, we treat this like when you got in trouble in school. You didn't know
conference.
Your mom was there. Like, oh, Marvin, hey, can you come down to the guidance counselor's office? And mom is right there. That's what it's going to be. Hey, Todd, real quick, we want to ask you something. He's like, oh, sure. And what noise does he make? And then he comes in, strolling in, and his wife is right here. Come here.
Hey, Todd, I heard you talk about an exotic dancer in Las Vegas.
Oh, my God. What a wild scene this show. This week has been kind of interesting. Todd had that hooker stripper story. And exotic.
Mario, I don't know if it's actually too personal, but that when you asked him who it was, the IM he sent you back was pretty all time. I don't know if it's too personal.
I don't think I'd share that just because he didn't share it on the show. But he did give me an extreme description.
Like
of
an
all
page of the almanac of
young
this
lady was.
Person.
Yeah. Todd, I love Todd. He's just crazy.
And I got to go. I'm shot.
That's all we got for this week. For Eric the Big German, Eric the Big Shot German, Marvin the Prince, and Dylan the Graphics Guy, because he always goes last because he's the least valuable.
And Trevor in the DL.
And Trevor in the DL, who joined us all the way from Los Angeles, but he was here in Milford. We'll catch you guys next week. Have a good weekend, everyone.